I hope everyone's having a really good day. I hope everyone had a good week. I'm just going to begin with, I'm going to read something to you. This is the closest thing we have of a proposal that Adoniram Judson wrote. He wrote it to his soon-to-be father-in-law, and it goes like this. I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring, to see her no more in this world, whether you can consent to her departure and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of a missionary life, whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of an ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death. Can you consent to all this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for you and for her, for the sake of perishing immortal souls, for the sake of Zion and the glory of God, with the crown of righteousness brightened by the acclamations of praise which shower down to her Savior from heathen saved through her means from eternal woe and despair? Wow. A well-meaning but snarky atheist once remarked, one of the greatest mysteries of the world is how Christians manage to propagate their species. Adoniram and Nancy Judson were the first missionaries to go to leave America and go abroad. They were actually the first to go to Burma, which is now known as Myanmar. Their life was a journey equal parts energizing and exhausting, a journey that started in green pastures and still waters and led them to the valley of the shadow of death and eventually to the Lord of hosts. In the same way, our life is like a journey. Do you see your life as one? A journey with trials and errors, battles to be fought, celebrations to be had, the greatest joys, the saddest tears, peaceful pastures, reflections by still waters, bouts of depressions in the valley, and toast at the table. And in this journey we call life, the shepherd is asking, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Psalm 23 is a beloved psalm, probably the most well-known one. It's the one we turn to for comfort and confidence, the one we put on our bathroom doors and our refrigerators. We love it. It speaks to our inner poet, the hero in our hearts. Valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If I didn't know any better, I thought that was in J.R.R. Tolkien's Middle Earth. Yet our familiarity with the passage is also our flaw. For some of the most obvious treasures in this passage are hidden in plain sight. Much of the other psalms speak of the might and majesty of God, but this speaks of God intimately. He's a shepherd. He's a host. So the shepherd picture is found in verses 1 to 4, and the host is verses 5 to 6. And so in this journey called life, God is both the shepherd and the host, the guide and the goal, the driver and the destination. And today, as I walk you through the text, my hope is that you can trust God as your guide, and you can long for God as your goal. And when I read, I'm going to read through the, I know we read the NIV, but I'm going to read the NKJV because it's kind of classic. I like it. So verse 1 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd." Pause. If you recognize the Lord as your shepherd, you must then recognize yourself as a sheep. Yeah, exactly. This is not a flattering comparison, though. In my childhood, whenever we wanted to tease a friend's intelligence, we would go in front of them and we'd be like, "Bah!" Why? Because sheep are dumb. You know, they'll walk off a cliff if you don't stop them. They have no inbuilt defensive mechanisms. You know, bees have stingers, rams have horns, elephant tusk. You know, sheep, Nothing. They have shepherds, and in fact, they need shepherds. Without shepherds, well, they're not going to survive. And it's the same with us. We need to trust in the shepherd for us to live truly. In order for us to live, we need him. And this, guys, it's countercultural to what the world says today, which is all about self-help, right? You know, get abs in 60 days if you do this workout. You know, this meditation will make you realize yourself. You know, read this book about this and that. It's all about personal empowerment, yourself, your way, your strength. And the Bible is saying, and Psalm 23 is saying no to self-help, and it's saying yes to his help. It's saying God is the only one, the true one, who can actually help you in this life. It won't be enough with just you. Do you trust him? But it's not about us in this text. It's not about, it's about me. It's about you. Because notice, it doesn't say the Lord is our shepherd. It says the Lord is my shepherd. There's a deep, personal, individual bond between shepherd and sheep. You are not a tally contributing to an overall statistic. You are a person. Jesus asked if one shepherd, doing one of his parables, he was like, if a shepherd lost one of his 100 sheep, would he not go out and find that one sheep? And when he did, would he not rejoice? And in the same way, all of heaven rejoices. Yes, God, I mean, think about it. God is not called the God of the nation of Israel. He is called the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Individual. Yes, God is the God of Forward Baptist Church, but on a deeper level, God is concerned with Marion Legrees and Joy Lush and Marcus Peralta and Micah Green. He is the personal shepherd who helps you in each and every single one of your journeys. A few years before proposing Adoniram Judson, a younger version of himself, he found himself burnt out and roaming into this remote inn in the countryside. All his big worldly ambitions failed him. He asked the innkeeper if there was any space, and the man said, yeah, but only beside this very sickly person. The only thing separating you and him is this walled partition that's movable. And he said, I'll take it. And so there he was that night, and just a million thoughts just flushed within him. He thought about how he rejected his parents' faith and broke their hearts. He thought about death, because he thought about how he failed his life of theater. He heard the coughs of the man beside him, and he started thinking about the God of his parents. Was that God real? But the second he had that thought, he could hear the laughter of James Eames, dear friend James Eames, witty schoolmate James Eames, who taught him better to believe religion. And he felt shame. The next morning, Adoniram woke up, asked the innkeeper how the man fared, and the innkeeper noted that the man died. Curious, Adoniram asked the name of this man. And it was at this moment that his life would, God, the shepherd would reel him back. The name of the man was James Eames. God doesn't deal with cards of coincidences. He ordains circumstances. His friend, his skeptic friend beside him died, and so did his skepticism. Do you trust the Lord? Continuing on in verse 1, it's a small sentence, but it's important. I shall not want. The NIV actually translates it better. It says, I lack nothing. It's not that because of God I've been emptied of desire. It's saying because of God my desire has been met. In other words, in God we find contentment. The psalmist expresses contentment in a variety of ways. Read with me in verse 2. It says this: he makes me lie down in green pastures. Shepherds tell us that sheep never lie down when they're hungry. They go on grazing. They're not like rabbits nibbling. They need to move. We live in a society highly discontent. We have so much, but we are content with so little. We think the acquisition of many things will make us happy. You know the sort. You know, I want popularity, I want money, I want status, I want achievement, I want this car, that thing, and it just won't do. And it's not that those things are necessarily bad, they're good things. But don't be deceived, they are not the best thing. God is the best thing. God is the missing piece that fills that gaping hole in our hearts that nothing else can fill otherwise. Our contentment should be, it must be, in the shepherd and what he provides us with. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to the riches of what? The Royal Bank of Canada? No, according to Christ Jesus." According to Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you find your satisfaction and your contentment in God? When he says he is enough, he is enough. Do you trust him? Verse 3. He refreshes my soul. He leads me to the righteous path. Pause. Notice he leads us. He's the one doing the leading. He has to. If we try to lead ourselves, we're either going to go to the unrighteous or the self-righteous path. Sometimes both. And we know what this is, right? You know, personally for me, whenever, even as a Christian, I fell into sin, I often said this: "Oh, I'm sorry, God. I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to do this." And if anyone's like me, you guys all know how that turns out. It doesn't turn out well. And I had to learn that the hard way. While I was on vacation, and this is not for me, well, I was here, but while I was on vacation late at night, I befriended, he was an African Muslim who owned a sushi restaurant in Quebec City. Globalization is a thing, okay? I eventually found out that his shop was open late because if he went home, he would certainly do drugs. His words, not mine. It was for that same reason that although he wanted to invite me to his house, he could not handle the embarrassment. So I offered to clean it. I said, help must come from outside. It's the same thing with the gospel, which I explained. Sin can't be beaten alone without God. We need him. God sends help. He thought about it. He even said that God probably sent me. You think? But after much thought and inner wrestling, he said he just can't. Why? How can I pride my life? My pride. This is my fight. This is my jihad. And so without God being his shepherd, he walked the unrighteous, self-righteous path. We can't be righteous unless we are led. God guides us. He leads us. He shows us how to live. Do you trust him? I'm going to jump over to verse 4. We'll swing back later, okay? Verse 4, it says this. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Pause. Notice the change of scenery. It switched from green pastures to valley of the shadow of death. What caused this? Well, who's leading us? God did this. God is leading us. Friends, know this. When God leads us, it won't always be daffodils and daisies. Sometimes we have to be taken through the valley. If you signed up for this Christian bit because you thought life was going to be easy, you are mistaken. You were dead wrong. Following Christ means taking up your cross. Adoniram's proposal was more than a proposal. In some ways, it was prophecy. After over 6 years there, Burma began to war with Britain. though America had nothing to do with the war, the political ministers of Burma concluded that all white foreigners, American missionaries included, were spies. Adoniram Judson was thrown into death prison, the primitive, or the Burmese equivalent of a concentration camp, of a Nazi concentration camp, where he suffered malnutrition, humiliation, and rats. There was a lion that resided by his camp. In case Burma should be victorious, they needed some way to viciously celebrate. His Burmese New Testament translation, his life's work, as good as lost. He had no idea what happened to the few Burmese that converted. It was the valley of the shadow of death. We go through these valleys too. It might not be death camp, but don't underestimate your trials. The devil still works double time today in more socially subversive ways, through illness, through a social slighting, through media. We are in some ways also downplayed. Your trials are noble. Yet whatever trial we find ourselves in, there is only one proper response. Verse 4 continues, says this: I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Notice, there is evil. This is a thing. We acknowledge evil. Our problems are real. Yet we look at evil square in the eye and we say to it, I will fear no evil. No fear. No fear. Why? It says this: for you are with me. Because God is with us. Notice the pronouns change. It goes from talking about God to talking to God. You guys notice that? The Lord is my shepherd. He's talking about God. Now he's saying, for you are with me. Green pastures make us talk about God. But the valley of the shadow of death makes us talk to God. It makes us cry out, Lord, be with me. We need these moments of trial to discover we need God. I won't say the lady's name, but I used to go to the 12-step program here, and she said these words: I thank God that I'm a drug addict. I thank God I'm a drug addict. Why? Because if I wasn't, I wouldn't have known I needed Christ. Sometimes God takes us to these valleys so we can learn to hear the voice of the shepherd. The valley of the shadow of death is where heroes are born. Perhaps the most surprising hero of the Burma story was Nancy Judson, the wife. Who just bore her first child. She had her first child, yet in this time when her husband was in prison, she would confront boldly anybody, the spotted faces, which were basically like Burmese crip, Burmese gangsters. She would confront the jailers who had her husband detained. She flung herself to noble officials in their gardens during their walks. She suffered their ridicule and derision and earned their respect and admiration. So exhaustive was the task for Nancy. After Adoniram was freed, after a few months, she let up and passed away. But Burma would not have its Bible. Burma would not know the sweet words of Jesus if Burma did not have Nancy Judson. Continuing on in verse 4. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A rod was used for two things. One, defending against wolves, and two, disciplining the sheep against outside sin and against inside sin. God is our protector, but he is also our pathfinder. The staff was used to direct the sheep, to grab them by the neck if they were going astray. So you ever see those cartoon shows when they're auditioning and they get that long staff and they pull them by the neck? It's kind of like that, except legitimate. And so we have this picture of God being our shepherd, our guide, who will defend us, who will discipline us, who will direct us. Do you trust him? Verse 5. And so we have, it changes the exposition, the metaphor changes. It changes from shepherd to host. God has been our shepherd, our guide, our driver, and now he is our host, our goal, our destination. He prepares a table for us, a most delightful table. But remember, in order to get to the table, we have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, but that table is going to be awesome. Because when we get there, he will anoint our heads with oil, which is a sign of a gracious host. In Luke 7, when a prostitute came and wiped her hair on Jesus' feet and the other host complained, Jesus was like, whoa, she's pouring perfume on my feet. You haven't even anointed my head with oil yet. So it was a common thing of a gracious host to do. Moreover, our cups, they're overflowing. You coffee drinkers, you guys drink coffee, you know how nice it is for a waiter to refill your cup. Finally, backtracking, it says, you prepare a table for me before my enemies. If we are right with God, though people wrong us, God will vindicate us, either in this life or the next. Do you trust him? Burma would surrender to Britain after a year and a half of war. Adoniram, who was fluent in English and Burmese, was conscripted to translate between the two and help write the Treaty of Yandabo. At its conclusion, the British General Campbell decided to host a dinner for all the Burmese commissioners and the Judsons. But he wanted to impress them, perhaps terrify them, with all the British pomp. So he had every flag flown ablaze. The Navy ship Diana, which convinced the Burmese that the British were invincible, hanged by the seashore. The regimental band was in full regalia. The fearful Burmese took their seats at the long table. And then came the victorious General Campbell in full uniform with Nancy Judson, pale and frail Nancy Judson by his arm. Very Nancy, who for a whole year suffered without even a murmur of anger, the derision and the insults of the Burmese officials. As the Burmese shrank into their seats, and they all knew who she was, as they shrank into their seats, their eyes teetered with fear. For Nancy, if Nancy so much cared to tell them, to tell the general what she knew, all of them had something to fear. Torture, perhaps death. And the subtext, it was obvious to everyone. You could taste it. Yet in Burmese, she reassured them, you have nothing to fear. Nancy came out of the valley of the shadow of death and entered in a small yet profound preview the table of hosts prepared for her before her enemies. And today, she dines at a different table, a longer table, where there are thousands of Burmese. Thousands. But they are not her enemies. They're family. Verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. The Hebrew here isn't speaking of goodness and mercy lagging behind. It's talking about it, one that's pursuing. In other contexts of scripture, it's to persecute. Notice, initially, it's us following God's lead, but as soon as we start to follow God's lead, mercy and goodness begin to follow us, and so there's a positive loop. Do you trust him? An and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the goal. Forever. Not for a decent amount of time, not for a long time, forever. We are eternal beings made for eternity, made for heaven, made for God, made to be with God at his table forever. And my question and my challenge for you today is this. Do you trust him? Do you trust him in this life? That he will lead you to green pastures and still waters, that he will prepare you through the valley of the shadow of death, that he will protect you, that he will comfort you, that you are not alone, that he will protect you again and again. Green pastures or shadow valleys, his way is righteous. If you trust him, if you hope in this God, your personal God, the creator of the cosmos who gushes over you, he will take you to his table where your head will be anointed with oil, your cup will be overflowing. But there, you won't be his guest. You're not going to be his guest because you're going to be home forever. Do you trust him? Let me tell you why he's trustworthy. Let's return to verse 3. It's the part I skipped. The last line of verse 3. For his name's sake. For his name's sake. This is why you can bet on it that God will do what he says he will do, because his name is on the line. It's a personal investment. Yes, God shepherds you because he loves you. And yes, God shepherds you for his sake, for his name's sake. Glory to God. This magnifies his rightful name. This is why our church goal, our goal is like the first one, to glorify God. And his love for us and his name's sake, they don't contradict, they complement. It's a symbiotic relationship, like a honeybee and a flower. You know, the flower helps the bee by giving it nectar, and the bee pollinates the flowers. Symbiotic. We fall under the care of the shepherd, and his name is honored. But this symbiotic analogy breaks down in two ways. First, the Lord does not need us. We need him. He wants us, but he doesn't need us. We need him. We are dependent on him. And two, he cares for us, his care for us, and his namesake, that it actually comes at a great cost. The Father sent his Son into the world, Jesus, the Word where all the sheep were scattered and lost in darkness. It says in Isaiah chapter 53, it says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. And the shepherd, for his Father's fame and for his great love for the sheep, lays down his life for them. He becomes the perfect lamb that we couldn't be. The perfect, obedient lamb who takes the fall. The Lord laid on him the sin of us all the powers of the fall, all powers of death and darkness, thrust it into the Son. Psalm 22, the previous psalm, verse 16, it says, wolves surround me, a pack of villains encircles me, they pierce my hands and feet. No coincidence. But death, the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of death would not be his final destination. His final destination would be with the Lord of hosts, his heavenly Father, for he rose again. Friends, the valley of the shadow of death, that doesn't have to be your destination. You don't have to stay there. If you trust in Jesus, if you hope in Jesus, he can bring you out with his rod and his staff. He can lead you out of there. He can show you the table. If you are not a Christian, trust in him. Trust in Jesus. Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Fling yourself to Jesus. Fall on his grace, for his goodness and mercy may follow you all the days of your life. And you may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.